Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy that airs every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight's show is a fairly unusual one. Those of you who are longtime listeners to the program will remember that there was a time when I asked people to send in letters telling me who they thought the funniest people in the world and the funniest people that were currently working were. And I got a wonderful letter from a man named David Ritchie, who wrote me all about Billy Connolly, of whom I had never heard. And David was nice enough to come down here and bring me all sorts of Billy Connolly stuff so that we can both listen to it. And having heard it previously myself, I must say that I think this stuff is great. I think he's a very funny guy, and certainly the leading candidate for the person I would most like to have take me around the pubs of Scotland. Thanks for coming down, David.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be here.
What can you tell these people about Billy Connolly, having never heard of him and not knowing who he is and what he does?
Well, most Americans tend to associate the Python crowd and Cook and Moore and the Oxbridge Mafia with British humor, but there's the other more earthy strain of working-class humor that might be represented by Steptoe and Son, Benny Hill, and most recently, Not the 9 O'Clock News.
Billy Connolly is also filthy.
he has a sharper edge to him.
Yeah. We've edited all that stuff out, but if you ever get a chance to see him, if anybody has a chance to see him, I'd really appreciate hearing about it. I wish he'd come over here at some point. Apparently, he was over here and did very poorly. But
he had that thing about when he appeared in Los Angeles and got out early.
Yeah, he wasn't really appreciated. He's also married to or living with or is at the very least the father of the children of Pamela Stevenson, who was on Saturday Night Live last season and was in a series called Not the 9 O'Clock News in Britain and was in a very forgettable film entitled Into the Night, which came out recently. Tell us about his accent. I found something very fascinating in the records that you played for me.
Well, the very earliest... I've tried to play to many of the people who visited my house since I've been here and came over in 1979, and I've yet to find an American who can understand his earliest record. It has mutated. It has become more and more understandable. And for a while I thought that his comedy was going to become more mainstream, but his very latest record, not so much... A comedian as more a raconteur is back to the harsher stuff, I think.
Well, I think he's wonderful, and he's also a musician. Apparently, at one point was a folk singer of one type or another, and now still comes out and brings his guitar and his banjo and sings a little bit and sings some fairly cute songs. And we'll start with one of them. And without any further ado, let's listen to the comedy of Billy Connolly. Thanks for this, David.
Thank you.
As I said earlier, I swear, but I'm a complete hypocrite. I don't do it in front of my kids, you know. But I've invented swear words that I can do in front of them. One of them is BASA. If you say it fast, it's quite convincing, you know.
Hey, ambassador!
Sounds good. But you're not swearing, your conscience is clear. It's dead sneaky. Another good one's GETIFU, Getifa. If you do it fast along with BASA, it's quite handy.
Get my ambassador!
Quite good. I sleep like a baby, completely clear conscience. But Kenneth Tynan swore on television. He said F. I thought it was great that he did it. Not just because he swore, that's nothing. But because it improved the drama on television. Because before the swearing, it was all biff, ouch. Take that, Jamanda, biff. Oh dear, nice. Right. Now they go, would you? Right. And I like that better. Remember the other one stuff. Look away, Cynthia. I'm going to box his ears. Biff. Ouch. Right. Who needs it? But he opened the floodgates to everybody, of course. But you have to draw the line somewhere. Right. Jack and Ori. You can't go swearing at Jack and Ori, can you really? Once a teddy bear found a little piece of chocolate.
Oh, fuck, look at that.
It's the kiddie winkies. They don't like it. It's nasty. This is a wee song about it. It's a cowboy song. It's called called I've been so lonesome in the saddle since my horse died. They can put me in jail for loving you, but they'll never stop my face from breaking out. Let me call you sweetheart, I keep forgetting your name. There was a young man on the BBC. His name was Ken Tynan, and I'm sure you'll agree. He dropped a real clanger that night when we heard him using a 1-2-3-4-letter word. A four-letter word, a four-letter word. To ban it would be a shame. It's honest, it's earthy, it ought to be heard. That wonderful 1-2-3-4-letter word. It's banded around by the kids for a lark. It's put into practice as soon as it's dark. It's done every night by the rich and the poor. To do it is worse than to say it, I'm sure. A four-letter word, a four-letter word. To ban it would be a shame. It's honest, it's earthy, it ought to be heard. That wonderful 1-2-3-4-letter word. It shouldn't be said in polite company when aged wee ladies are sipping their tea. But if those ladies' pasts were revealed, sure as hell, they've not only said it, they've done it as well. A four-letter word, a four-letter word. To ban it would be a shame. It's honest, it's earthy, it ought to be heard. That wonderful 1-2-3-4-letter word.
There was a guy, a Glasgow guy, and he was out for a walk, and he was doing out for walk things. I'm not a great go for walk person, but he was doing whatever people who go for walks do. So I'm out for a walk, walking. Oh, a tree, I'm glad I came. Oh, there's a bird, what a walk is this turning out to be. And he was walking along some cliffs. It's hard to say when your moustache is wet, but they walked along these cliffs and the sea was pounding on the rocks beneath. Oh, sea pounding on rock, it's great. What a walk. Right, so look at that, pounding. So my legs are walking and everything. And he fell off. Like, straight to the point, over the top. And he was hurtling towards the sea, grabbing handfuls of fresh air as he went. Help, I have fallen in mid-walk. Right. And he was passing, there was a bush sticking out, a wee bush sticking out the cliff, and he was passing it, grabbed on, he's hanging there. Help! Help! Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Yes, my son. I am up here. I am everywhere. Hey, look, I was out for a walk there, and I slipped on something, and I fell down here, and I'm hanging on to this bush. Bushy, I'm hanging on. I know. I know all things. I see all things. I am the father of all men.
Aye, very good.
Look, I don't think you understand. I'm hanging on to this bush, and my hands are sore. I can't hold on much longer.
I know. and your hand will be even sorer until you can stand the pain no longer. You will let go and plummet to your death on the rocks below. But fear not, for you shall join me in heaven.
Is there anybody else out there?
A Glasgow guy was learning to parachute, and he was in the aeroplane, and he went up to the instructor. He said, look, I don't want to look stupid or anything, you know what I mean, but you're going to tell me again what you do. I've totally forgotten. I'm panicking. He said, look, there's nothing at all to it. Basically, you jump out the door, a static line will open your parachute, you will float gently to the ground. Aye, that's great, but look, supposing that doesn't open. He said, well, in the unlikely event of your parachute failing to open, they always say that when you're in aeroplanes, don't they? In the unlikely event of this plane crashing into a mountain and bursting into flames, there is a life jacket under your seat. So, put it on, come back to life, no problem. So he said, in the unlikely event of your parachute failing to develop, you have a reserve parachute in the front, a little red handle. Give it a smart tug. It will develop. You'll float gently to the ground. He says, yeah, that's great, sure, but what if it doesn't? Just suppose it doesn't. He says, well, in the extremely unlikely event of the reserve parachute failing to develop, pray preferably to Allah. He said, but I'm a Christian. He said, it doesn't matter. Pray to Allah. Okay. So he jumped out. Nothing. And he's hurtling through the air and he's trying to get it to you. Nothing. So he says, wait, reserve. The whole thing comes off. He's looking for his hanky. He's scudding through the sky. So what's that other bloody thing I have to do? Oh yeah, Allah! Allah, help me! And a big black hand came out of the sky, picked him gently and placed him softly in the ground. He said, well, thank Christ for that. And a big black foot went. Now, in the English folk tradition, as it were, so to speak, to coin a phrase, and the Irish as well, and the Welsh, they have a great history of drinking songs. Oh, songs that you drink and all that kind of stuff. In Scotland, we don't have that. But by the time we get round to singing, we're too pissed to write songs, you see. And this is a peculiarly Scottish song I have for you here. This is a hangover song. And it was very rare, these are. And if any of you take a little refreshment now and again, like me, you can find me lying in a gutter any day, suitably refreshed. You'll recognise the symptoms in this song. I certainly did. You don't get eyes like that reading the Melody Maker. I woke up with an aching head, as usual. That's a chorus, right? You want to try it this time? I woke up with an aching head, as usual. I can't remember going to bed, as usual. Wonderful. Can I have a wee rest now? My stomach's feeling very queer. I've got a thunderstorm in my left ear. It must have been McEwen's beer, as usual. Oh, we sucked the drink up like a Hoover, as usual. The cheap wine and the paint remover, as usual.
And somewhere deep inside my brain, I seem to hear a diesel train. And I promise not to drink again. As usual, I woke up in a public park. As usual, I must have crawled there after dark. As usual, oh, I'd better see how much I've got. Oh, Jesus Christ, I've spent the lot. I must have been a drunken sot. As usual.
Hey, doesn't he work? It's like two Glasgow guys going home to work one night. More. One says, I'll tell you what, see, as soon as I get into the house, I'm going to rip the wife's knickers off. He says, what for? He says, the elastic's hurting my legs. Did you ever wonder what happened to Robin Hood? I used to wonder that a lot. I used to lie awake at night saying, I wonder what happened to Robin Hood. I used to pound the pavements at 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, Robin, what happened? See, when I was a wee boy, I used to always... I had several Robin Hood books, as most boys did. Kind aunties tend to give you Robin Hood books. And they were always the same. On the last page, Robin had just won that contest, that archery thing. And he was walking into the distance with Marion, with his arm over it like that. And the merry men were saying, cheerio, Robin! All the best, Robin! Cheerio, lads! Keep it going, boys, that's the game. Keep in touch, Robin. Keep in touch, sir. Tell us all about it, you know what I mean? Hey, Robin, can we watch? No! And they walk out of the distance. And that's the end. But I always wonder what happened after that to Robin, whatever became of the chap. Well, I'll tell you, because I found out. Robin didn't do too well at all. As a matter of fact, luck didn't shine on Robin. They went from bad to worse and got very poor and ended up in furnished rooms in Nottingham, him and Marion. And Robin got old like everybody else, and he had silver hair, a wee silver beard, and he was close to death, sitting up in bed with his wee Lincoln green pyjamas on. And the feather in his hat went, But for Robin, it was all over. And he said, Marion! 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 And she came in. What is it? What is it now? Mer Lucas is. No, Marion. Marion, I fear I am close to death. Please fetch the merry men. You know, all right. And away she went, and then they came in, the merry men. Hey, Robin, how's it going, Papa? You all right? How's it going, Robin? You all right? Well, give in, where's the half bottle? Come on. Come on, where's the carry out, Robin? Own up. Wee bottle of stout, hold it. These merry men, I gathered you here because I'm close to death. Little John, you were always my very chum. Please fetch my longbow. All right. You're not going to commit suicide or anything, are you? No. She says, there's her bow. She says, thank you. And an arrow. Jesus Christ. Message boy. Yeah. And your arrow. Thanks, little John. And he puts the arrow in the bow. And he knelt up in bed with his wee scrawny legs, shaking like that. And he says, little John, please open the window. And oh, God, oh, there you go. And he points like that. He says, wheresoever this arrow may land, there shall I be buried. Boing! And they buried him on top of the wardrobe. And that's true. If anybody ever asks you, that's your actual official story.
One more crack like that and you're out in your arse. Don't let the hair fool you, I'm not a hippie, I like violence.
Every concert, a loony.
Spell that.
No.
This is a... It's a lovely way with him, that chap, isn't he? Hi. Nice, tolerant, big lad. Oh, yes. The Scots have an amazing reputation for being aggressive. You don't know they're coming up to get you, do they? And they're going to bring you down here. They're not going to throw you out. And I'm going to come off after and do terrible things to you. Right, George, get a sellotape. He's going beyond the point. Shut your mouth. This is a aggressive story. Desperately aggressive, terrible. See, the reason Scots got the name of being aggressive was because of most of the regiments we had in Scotland, or have, our infantry regiments. They were always up at the front. They looked more aggressive than everybody. But nobody ever told you that just before they went out the trenches, the officers told the men that there was a half bottle just beyond the Germans. I mean, that puts a whole different light on the subject, doesn't it, really? There's a story where the Scottish regiment were all in the trench in the First World War. They were up to their knees in mud. And it had been a long, long time since they'd been in battle. At least 3/4 of an hour, they say. And they were bored and they were practising on each other. And then at last the order came. Over the top, lads, and right into them! Hello! Boom, crash. Machine guns, there's bodies everywhere and bits of leg flying through the air. Boom, crash, 10 of them left. Crash, boom, 4 of them left. 2 of them left. One of the guys turned around to the piper and he said, for Christ's sake, can't you play something they like? Come on, you're playing with the big boys now. Open your mouth and I'll send you your way rejoicing. Do another one and I'll slaughter you. George, raw meat and some Lego in the balcony. So much for culture, eh? This is a tune I recorded some time ago. I like making records. I like the British recording industry. I find it very adventurous. I mean, who else would have thought of starting the Second World War to push Vera Lynn's new single? You know what I mean? So, this... Oh, it's true. Don't you believe all that Poland nonsense? Right. This is a song...
Easy.
Right. Is good enough for bloody London. Here we go. I'm away. Look, I've started. I don't suppose there'd be any chance your mouth bleeds every 28 days. I told you I'd nail you. Prick. Right here. Here's the chorus coming, hang on. You're the dog end in my beer can. You're the stone in my left shoe. And when I think of great disasters, you know I always think of you. You're the snowdrift on my motorway, the snake in my grass. But most of all, baby, you're a pain in my ass. That's chatting up Glasgow style, romantic patter. He'll tell you all about it. If you go and look at him closely, you'll find a ring of Velcro around his neck holding his head on. I took you out for dinner to a fancy restaurant. It took you half an hour to tell the waiter what you want. And when he brought the soup, you let it fall down on your knee. And when he brought another one, you spilled it over me. You're the dog end in my beer can, you're the stone in my late shoe. And when I think of great disasters, you know, always think of you. You're the snowdrift on my motorway, the snake in my grass. But most of all, baby, sing, you're a pain in my ass. It's funny, they always remember that line. So you may have heard me hinting there during the chorus. You were an hour late for the wedding. I thought you'd left me in the lurch. Oh, you really shocked the guests there when you smoked your pipe in church. And in the middle of the service, I was stunned, to say the least, when you answered all the questions wrong and I got married to the priest. You're the dog end in my beer can, you're the stone in my lame shoe. And when I think of great disasters, you know, I always think of you. You're the snowdrift on my motorway, the snake in my grass. But most of all, baby, you're a pain in my ass.
And there you have it. There's the comedy of Billy Connolly, largely taken from a British cassette entitled Raw Meat for the Balcony, with various bits and pieces taken from other places. So if you ever get a chance to see Billy Connolly, should he ever grace our fair shores someday, or if you ever go over to the British Isles and you have a chance to see him, I highly recommend it. I can think, as I said before, of no one that I would rather tour the pubs of Scotland with, and if anybody out there can make that possible for me, can make that a reality, I would be very grateful. At any rate, next week's program is Lily Tomlin. We'll be listening primarily to excerpts from her last one-woman show, not the one that is currently sold out on Broadway, but the last one. And that's going to about do it. Let me see. Oh, KCET is under the impression that their subscribers hate Yes Minister. That's all I'm going to say. I'll let you take it from there and hope that you do. So that's about it. This is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and hoping you'll be with me next week, and also that you may join me this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock as I fill in for Harry Shearer. And oh my God, I'm running out of time. So I'll see you next week. And don't forget to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.